The assigned lectionary gospel passage for this first Sunday after Christmas comes from Luke 2. This story begins immediately after the shepherds return home. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. In the aftermath of any much anticipated event or situation, the body and the mind naturally go through a period of time that can best be described as a letdown, or at least a mental and emotional break. And that letdown extends to the church as well, as reflected by the fact that for most churches, the Sunday after Christmas is among the lowest attendance Sundays of the year. And that's why I often refer to this Sunday, as well as the one after Easter, as simply the Sunday after. You'll notice, however, that according to the liturgical church calendar, Christmas is more than just a one-day event. In fact, it is an entire season that lasts for 12 days. It starts on Christmas Day and goes to the beginning of Epiphany, which is always on January 6th. Now, one biblical commentator puts it all into perspective this way. It is still Christmas time. It is still time to sing the carols and rejoice, though it gets harder as the days wear on. People who had church enough and more in the last weeks of Advent and the first day of Christmas think it's a good time to rest up a bit, or at least to clean up. Well, that biblical commentator went on, however, to make a very valid point. Yet our biblical text for this Sunday make it clear that it is not really let down Sunday. It is move ahead Sunday. Or as I simply like to phrase it, life goes on. This is reflected in the gospel reading that we just heard from Luke 2. It's a story that shows that life moves ahead, that life goes on even after a momentous event. And the gospel story moves forward from the manger in Bethlehem to the temple in Jerusalem. And we are indebted to the gospel writer for a text that speaks to us after the shepherds and the angels and the heavenly host have gone home. Mary and Joseph now have a son to raise, religious obligations to keep, and an arduous trip back to Nazareth. Now, modern day parallels to this text are remarkably current and relevant. For each one of us will now move ahead in our lives into a new year, as we will as a congregation. And the good news of this story of Christmas, this story of Emmanuel, is that God is with us as we journey forward. But before we move ahead too quickly, I want to spend a bit of time to look at one fairly obscure biblical character. Her name is Anna. Anna is mentioned only in the Gospel of Luke and only this one time. All we have to go on is three verses of Scripture. And we're introduced to Anna at the presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem the week after his birth. And all Luke tells us about her is that she is a prophet, that she is very old, and that she has been a widow for most of her life. We also know that Anna was a devoutly spiritual woman who worshipped and fasted and prayed night and day. And upon seeing the infant Jesus, she gives thanks to God and is said to have continually spread abroad the word about the child. Well, that's it. That's all we have to go on in trying to understand who this Anna was and why she was important enough for Luke to include her in his gospel. But remarkably, there is a wealth of theological information packed into these three short verses. For when seen through the lens of society and culture in which she lived in ancient Palestine, we know that Anna had a lot working against her. She was a woman, a widow, and elderly. The cultural values of her time basically associated honor with men and women with shame. And in a like manner, old age was associated with weakness, and female widowhood was associated with being needy. And while men were easily recognized as spiritual leaders, women's spirituality was often more than not viewed as contingent upon or even secondary to men's. So as a biblical character, Anna would have been associated with shame, weakness, need, and being second class. And Luke's original readers would have been aware of all of these things, much more so than we are today. And the Reverend Glacia Vasconcelos Wilkie, former staff member of the Presbyterian Church USA in Louisville, Kentucky, and before that, a seminary professor in Brazil and a missionary to Portuguese-speaking people in Canada, reflected on this passage from Luke in a sermon this way. The gospel story for the first Sunday after Christmas continues the surprising revelation of the fullness of God's grace manifested in Jesus' birth. In the birth of the Christ child, a new era begins, and all of creation is called to break forth in wonder. She continues, by Anna's actions, the old oppressive patterns of gender, age, and marital status begin to crumble. Anna has encountered the liberating God in Jesus. Anna foreshadows a phenomenon decades later written about by the Apostle Paul when he describes the kingdom of God with the words, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. So Anna and all other people to whom society throughout time pays little or no honor, including children and women, slaves, the elderly, the differently abled, those of a different heritage, all in Jesus Christ are equal before God. I know we know that intellectually, but do we know that in our hearts? We learn in this passage that after witnessing the Christ child, Anna went out and spoke to, quote, all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So perhaps most remarkably then, in Luke's gospel, Anna becomes the very first evangelist. Simply means one who tells others the good news. Others who were not present at the temple. Others who were considered to be outsiders. Notice they mention Gentiles. And others who were hoping for salvation. So that is the gospel. The good news for us on the Sunday after Christmas. In Jesus Christ, no one is separated by God by distinctions or limitations of any kind. Rather, each one of us is equally a child of God. And one more brief comment about Anna. It's important. Anna provides for us a model for our own ministry. Like Anna, we too should be compelled to go out into the world and share the good news, the gospel of God's inclusive grace. And in following in the steps of the elderly, widowed woman named Anna, who out of oppression's grip was silent no longer, we can go out from this sanctuary today to become instruments of God's reconciliation and of hope, peace, joy, and love. Or as brilliantly stated in a poem by the influential American author, theologian, educator, and civil rights leader Howard Thurman, when the song of the angels is silent, when the star of the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are again tending their sheep, when the manger is darkened and still, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to befriend the lonely, to release the prisoner, and to make music in the heart. That sounds like a great mission statement and motivation to all of us as we move ahead into this new year. It is now time that we take what we have learned and what each one of us have experienced over the past few weeks and move ahead. For life does indeed go on with God. Amen.